Thank you for listening to this presentation from Real Life Ministries. We are excited to share the proclamation of the gospel, and we hope wherever you are listening today that it will be an inspiration to you and challenge you to grow closer to Jesus. We would like to hear your story. Email us at info@reallifeministries.com. Also, we invite you to give to this ministry online at reallifeministries.com/giving. Again, thank you for joining us today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's cold. All right, go Green Bay. Before I get started today, I got a couple of announcements for you. If you missed it, I know that we do a lot of our announcements at the beginning, and there's so much going on, but I want to remind you that we have the Men's Business Forum coming up in a couple of weeks, and the tickets are running out. Guys, this is your chance to really become networked with guys who know how to do business, and we really believe we'll have a better community when we have better business leaders. And so we want to invite you to come and make sure you grab some tickets, go online, or head to the back afterwards. Secondly, I want to remind you, if you missed when you came in, we are starting a Conquer Series 5-week class, not in the main service, but a 5-week class that deals with pornography. And it is at epidemic levels. And many of you may struggle with it, but I guarantee you, even those who do not, know people who are. Right now, a child in America will be first come in contact with pornography at age 8. That's a national statistic. And so if you are interested in figuring out how to either break that addiction or be able to learn how to help somebody else with it, make sure you check out, get some information on that. That's going to be a great class. Thirdly, next week we start a series called Thriving in Babylon. And we're going to be looking at the book of Daniel, but the author of the book called Thriving in Babylon, Larry Osborne, will be here to kick off the series. So you don't want to miss it. He does a great job. He is a pretty famous pastor in America for the right reasons, or we wouldn't have him here. So I hope that you'll come. Let your friends know. It's going to be a great series. Bow your heads with me and let's pray. Lord, I do pray that right now you would just speak to our hearts. You would wash us in your word. I know you're proud of these folks for making time, even in the cold, to come and worship and put you first with their time. Pray you bless them as you speak to them. We love you. Give me the words to say, nothing more or less than your word clearly says. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're in this series as we close this week called Renewed. And if you have your Bibles, flip over to Romans chapter 12. The new year is a time when people start to think about what priorities they ought to change, what resolutions they ought to make. And remember, we started out the series by going through Time Magazine's top 10 list of resolutions in America. And not one of them had anything to do with spiritual things. What is it? 60 to 70% of Americans claim to be Christian, but not one resolution on that list had anything to do with spiritual things. Only one of them had anything to do with family or relationship. As believers, we want to make the right priorities. We want to choose things to change in our life that are going to make a spiritual difference, an eternal difference. Not that losing weight is a bad thing. It's not. But it's not as important as gaining spiritual strength. So Romans chapter 12 is the verse that we've been bouncing off of. And so let me just do a little bit of review. Let me read verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want you to notice here, again, that he's saying, do not be conformed to the pattern of the world. In other words, don't think like the rest of the world thinks. Don't value what they value. Don't allow them to define your words. Like love. God's the creator of love. He ought to be the one that defines it. When you allow the world to redefine love, you lose what God has planned for you. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't allow the world to define church or right and wrong or any of those kinds of family. You don't live according to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by, there's that word, renewing of your mind. Going back to the word and renewing your mind. God has given us his word, his Holy Spirit, and his church, the people of God, to help you renew your mind. And he's not saying do it one time a year. He's saying be renewed continually as you go back to the word. Now, I want you to notice in verse 1, he says, in view of God's mercy, he's pointing out that in the first 11 chapters of Romans, he's given you some reasons to renew your mind. And he says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. In other words, you offer your bodies to the Lord. You worship him in view of what he's already done for you. Not to earn it, but because he earned it for you and gave it to you and to me. If you go through the book of Romans, he starts out in Romans chapter 1 pointing out how this world became such a colossal mess. That though there was a relationship with God and people knew God in Romans 1, they refused to worship God, to obey him. Rather than worship God, they worshiped created things. They worshiped the world. They liked the blessings of God, but not the blesser. And they refused to give him credit for it, so it says that he gave them over. He said, fine, go ahead. And the world became a darkened place. And in Romans chapter 3, we unpacked Romans 3, and it says that we were sold as a slave to sin. We were captured by the enemy, but God in Jesus Christ redeemed us. He bought us back. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. If you missed that, go to the website or go to the app and get caught up. He redeemed us, which means he thought we were valuable enough to redeem. How valuable? He gave his son's blood. God the Father sent God the Son to pay for you and me. He values us. You're valuable to God. If you go to Romans chapter 5, it says that our relationship was lost. We were enemies of God because of sin. So God reconciled us. In other words, he didn't just want to buy us so that we were somehow slaves to him. We are reconciled into relationship with him. We have a father-son relationship, father-daughter relationship with him. He wants relationship with us. So we talked about that last week. This week, I want you to look at Romans chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 5, he says, you've been declared righteous, redeemed, and reconciled. That's Romans 5. In Romans chapter 6, he's dealing with people that say, well, since I've been redeemed and reconciled, I can just go on sinning. I can just go on doing whatever I want. So listen to what he says in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? In other words, since God's a grace giver and he's constantly giving us grace, well, why can't I just go on sinning? Why can't I do that? Because he's just going to keep piling grace on me. He says, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now let's stop and unpack that for a minute. When we gave our life to Jesus, when we received him by faith, it's almost like a wedding ceremony. Let me just say it to you this way. I do a lot of weddings and I'll do vows. And I'll say, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, to love and to cherish, to honor and support? And as long as you live until death takes you home or Jesus returns. And people will say, yes, I do, right? See, a lot of times they'll say, yes, I do, so that I'll finish the ceremony and I will sign a certificate and they'll be married legally. They don't really mean I will honor, serve, and support. I will be there in sickness and in health. It's not a commitment that they're making. It's a box that they're checking. Does that make sense? They do the same thing with baptism oftentimes. They'll pray the prayer. They'll get baptized. And they'll go, I was baptized so that I could have a license handed to me that says somehow, a spiritual license, I'm saved. And now I can go do whatever I want. It wasn't a vow I made to the Lord in relationship, right? That's what he's saying. Listen, some of us made a vow and we're just gonna go on sinning. You know, he said, when you were buried, baptism is a picture of dying. This is the commitment that you're making. You're dying to the old life. You used to sit on the throne of your heart. No more. I'm making a vow. I'm dead to me. And I was identified with Christ, buried with him in death, raised to walk in a new life. It's a vow I'm making, like a marriage vow, that I'm going to try to live out with the rest of my life. And when I blow it, I'm going to ask for forgiveness because I'm going to walk. I'm marrying my wife for the rest of my life. It's the same sort of thing in your relationship with Jesus. Does that make sense? You guys okay out there? That's what it means to be a Christian. So notice, we were therefore buried with him, verse 4, through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. There's that word. I want you to circle it, underline it, resurrection. The scripture says that our God is not just a redeemer, not just a reconciler. He is a resurrector. He's a resurrector. Now, notice he's using this analogy of Jesus who died and was resurrected from the dead. He's saying that, he's going to go on and say that those of us who have received Christ, though we will die physically until Jesus returns, just as Jesus was raised from the dead, you and I will be resurrected from the dead for eternal life. Do you understand what that means? For Christians, our hope does not rest in just what happens in this life. We're not promised that we won't die in this life. We're not promised that we won't have things happen to us that are painful and hurtful. Some of those things will not be resolved for us in our mind while we're down here. In other words, we won't see the reason why it happened. There won't be like this, oh, I got it and it's all taken care of now. Sometimes God works that way. I've had things happen to me at the time, I didn't get it, but later on it's like, whoa, okay, now I see it. But I still have a list of things that I don't get. Anybody else here? But our hope is not that it's all going to be figured out for us in this life. It's that it's all figured out for us in eternal life. Is your hope firmly resting on the billions and billions and billions of years you're going to live because you were made in the image of God? God breathed life into you. Is your hope resting in the billions of years where things are right, or it has to happen for me right here, right now, or I'm going to be upset and I'm going to walk away from Jesus? Does this make sense to you? All right, now, but he's not just promising resurrection power for eternity. He's promising that he will resurrect us on a continual basis in our spiritual life here. There is hope for here. God breathes, what does it mean to resurrect? It means he breathes life into something that is dead. He breathes life into dead things. The scripture says that Jesus is the resurrection and the life in eternity and in life down here. Jesus said that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to us to work inside of us to resurrect us spiritually. You see, we live in a world controlled by the evil one who is a murderer. The scripture says that the devil, Jesus said the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and he is a murderer. So his goal is to kill you, to take life from you, to lure you away, lure me away from life. In the Garden of Eden, the devil tried to tempt Adam and Eve away from a relationship with God as the source of life. See, there was the tree of life in the garden, picturing Christ. And the devil said, don't focus on the tree of life. Focus on the tree of control and knowledge. Be your own God. God promised if you chose that tree, you would die. I would die. Was he right? We live in a world where the devil is constantly seeking to promise us life, but he's a liar. Some of us think that our life, we'll find real life and happiness in a new relationship apart from God, apart from the covenants that we've made with our spouse. We'll find life in business. Or we'll find life in the bottle. Or we'll find life in a new relationship. The life is always somewhere out there. But Jesus said this, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, I want you to get this. He's saying, listen, you don't just live by physical things. Your source of life is Christ Jesus himself. As the Holy Spirit, as Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, he lives inside of us, and he brings us continually to a renewed life in him. So even though the world has things happen that we don't understand, even though we don't get it when God does this or doesn't do that, he's promised us eternal life. And by the way, is he capable of resurrecting dead things? Jesus, when he rose from the dead, proved to all of us that he is unique in history. Whatever other religion there is in the world, there's only one resurrected Savior, and it's Jesus Christ. Buddha's still in the ground. Muhammad's still in the ground. Abraham and Moses are still in the ground. Jesus is risen from the dead. And he is the source of life for us down here. Jesus said it this way, if you abide in me, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Notice he starts out that passage. You've heard me say this. He starts out that passage saying, the Father is the gardener and I am the vine, and every branch that grows up in me will be pruned. In other words, God's coming at you with these pruning forks and he's going to prune you. And then right after it says that he prunes you, then he says, remain in me. Why does he say remain in me after he says he's going to prune you? Well, because the pruning doesn't always feel good, and that's when the devil will tempt you with a shortcut. That's when the devil will say, you know, you're getting pruned. Where's God? He's kind of messing with you. He doesn't really care about you. He doesn't have your best in mind. Come take a shortcut to life. The problem is, what he offers is a lie. We're told to remain in him, abide in him. But he says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. What fruit? Love. Do you want love? Do you want joy? Do you want peace? Do you want patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness? Do you want those kind of things? This joy he speaks about is a joy that can't be taken. You're going to be okay. I'm okay in spite of what's going on. I don't like it, but with God's help, I can stand with his help. Do you want that? Do you want love? Do you want relationship? It comes from Christ. The devil's a liar. You know, as we start down this road to a new year, there are some of you who have never received Christ. And you think there's the answer to all your problems is out there somewhere. You've been lied to and you don't even know it. The answer is not out there, it's in Jesus. A renewed life, redemption, reconciliation, in powerful words, resurrection. It comes from Jesus. You might be thinking, I've done too much. There's no way. I'm too far down the road. It's too late. It's not true. That's a lie from the devil who doesn't want you to come back to and receive Christ Jesus into your life. Others of you are Christians and you gave your life to Jesus, but you've been tempted to believe that life is somewhere out there. And so that's why Jesus takes the lowest priority. You visit him when you have time, when there's nothing else going on. You when it comes to your money, it's yours. It's not God's. When it comes to your time, it's yours. It's a sport that lures you out there. And you're a Christian. You're supposed to be a Christian, but you're believing that real life is going to come from something else. You're a parent who chases your kids around all over the place to this sport and that sport because you think a sport is going to keep them out of trouble. But I think we'll have to have looked at the news just a little bit to find out that pro athletes get in trouble. Maybe this year your view has been life comes from something other than Jesus, and our call to you, God's call to us through his word, is there is life in Jesus, the resurrector, the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Through faith in Christ Jesus, you are redeemed, you are reconciled, and you are resurrected. I'm gonna show you a video today that means a lot to me personally. When my son was a drug addict and on the street, he came to the place where he believed that there was a God, but he thought it was just too far gone. And I, no matter what I said to him, I couldn't get through to his heart. And then he saw this video. And it was the beginning of his return home. Now he was the speaker at the 1,000 kid junior high thing this last week. And he went to the recovery group this week and he spoke and he gave his testimony. This video plays a huge part in his return. And it's not the greatest quality video. And you might not get it when you first watch it. But I'm gonna have to not watch the last 3 minutes of it because I still bawl every time I see it. Or I won't be able to speak at the end of this service. Watch this. That was my son. That was me. I think that was all of us to one degree. As we finish this series, you live in a world that will constantly try to conform you to its pattern. And its pattern will kill you. Not just in this life, but in eternity. As we start a new year, maybe it's time for you to understand what's been going on spiritually. If you've never received Christ, you live in a world where the devil is active. He lies through the media, through friends, in our own spirits, in our own hearts. Maybe you haven't hit bottom yet. This last year, I've heard too many times about suicide. The devil lies, and I want you to know that Jesus loves you, and he can take you right where you're at no matter what's happening. He wants to. He is a redeemer. He is a reconciler, and he is a resurrector. But the devil is a liar and a deceiver and murderer. No matter where you're at, Jesus will take you. If you're here today, it means that he's pulling on that rope. You're not here by accident. The scripture says that you don't come to the Father lest the Holy Spirit's drawing you. The Holy Spirit is drawing you right now. That's why you're here today. It's not an accident. It wasn't just your bright idea. Somebody, God put you on somebody's heart. They invited you or they directed you here today. If you've not received Jesus, he wants you. If you are a Christian, once you become a Christian, there's this part of us where we have to be renewed. Notice he says, in view of God's mercy, we're to be renewed, meaning that the devil doesn't stop lying to us. He will try to draw you through all of those things you saw in the video and many more. He'll try to lure you with good things. Life is found in Jesus Christ. Today, Inside of your bulletin is a decision card. Maybe today is the day where you say, I'm ready to receive Christ. And we have that card, and we have buckets that are going to come in a minute and boxes in the back. Today could be your day when you make that vow to the Lord and you accept his offer of relationship. And in baptism, you are buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. That's just a spiritual picture that shows you. It burns it in your mind. What Jesus has done for you and what you are doing when you receive him. Today could be your day. Let us know, please. Today could be a day where you decide, I'm going to be Christ's person. I'm a Christian, but I've been lured. I'm going to rededicate my life to renewing my walk with Jesus. Not just once, but this year. I'm going to walk in a life group. I'm going to walk with other believers. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to be constantly reminded that the lies are the lies and the truth is the truth. We're going to be washed in the word together. You're going to walk with Jesus this year in a new way. You're going to be renewed. Will you bow your heads? Part of what we do as a church is we speak to the lost and the hurting and the struggling that the Messiah, Jesus, loves you and wants you. We know people that need Jesus right now, who need to be renewed, resurrected. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for that video, that picture that we saw of who you are. All of us have, like sheep, gone astray, but you pursued us. You've drawn us. You love us. You want to protect us. Everything you've ever said to us was for our good. Thank you for that. You are a redeeming God. You want to be in relationship with us. You are a reconciling God. You are a resurrecting God. Thank you for breathing life into dead things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We thank you for spending some time with us, wherever you might be, and we hope that you were blessed by the message today. For more information about Real Life Ministries, visit us on the web at reallifeministries.com. And we also invite you to give through this website by clicking on the giving link.